Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. And of course, it is a very important day today. If you haven't voted, we will remind you again that that's probably a thing that you should do. Not probably, it is. But, you know, I was sort of thinking about, I wonder how many laws, regulations, rules there are related to voting. Well, there was no way I could find that out, but it's so numerous. And one of the reasons is because of the beginning of the United States. The issue of voting rights in the United States, of course, has been debated throughout the history, and eligibility to vote in the United States is relevant at both the federal and state levels. But in the absence of a specific federal law or constitutional provision, each state is given considerable discretion to establish qualifications for suffrage and candidacy within its own respective jurisdiction. Now, originally, the U.S. Constitution did not define who was eligible to vote, allowing each state to determine that. In early history in the U.S., most states allowed only Caucasian males who either owned property, at least 50 acres, which was probably quite a bit at that time, or had taxable incomes. Those were the men who could vote. But women could vote in New Jersey, provided they could meet the property requirement. And in some local jurisdictions in other northern states, non-white Americans could also vote, provided they could meet the property requirement. Freed slaves could vote in four states. Initially, on property, men and women, white citizens, slaves, ex-slaves, etc., were prohibited from voting anywhere. However, those things started to change even before the U.S. Civil War, and there have been considerable changes to the Constitution and so on, which we'll sort of summarize. But let's just for a moment think about women's right to votes. There have been movies, there have been documentaries in the last few years related to women's suffrage. And, of course, women died, women put up lots of fights, women did lots of things to get the right to vote. The probably first state, other than those really early ones, that women were allowed to vote was Montana. And would you believe, 100 years ago yesterday, November 3rd, 2014, they celebrated 100 years of the time that Montana voted to allow women in Montana full voting rights. Now, when they say women in Montana, there was one exception. Native American women did not receive the right to vote in Montana until 1926. So even when they said all women could vote, well, that wasn't quite true. But again, thinking about the women's suffrage movement in the United States, of course, the constitutional amendment was finally gave the right to women to vote in 1920, but the whole suffrage movement really began in the 1840s, emerging from a broader movement for women's rights. In 1848, the Seneca Falls Convention, the first women's rights convention, passed a resolution in favor of women's suffrage, despite opposition from some of its organizers. You know, women don't always agree. That's no surprise, right? Women don't always agree on what should be done either. And in fact, there were two competing organizations formed related to women's suffrage. And I'm sure all have heard the name Susan B. Anthony and probably Elizabeth Cady Stanton. But the other one, maybe not, we've heard so much of, Lucy Stone. So after years of bitter rivalry, they merged in 1890 as the National American Women's Suffrage Association, with Susan B. Anthony being the leader. But even then, they had some differences about how things should happen, who should go where, who should campaign where. It was still not a smooth ride. But finally, in 1920, that constitutional change came about, and so women got to vote in that fall campaign, in the November election of 1920. Now, remember, states can still put some rules and regulations on various kinds of things so that maybe all women couldn't vote, all people of any nationality, so on, could not vote. Now, another important amendment was the 26th Amendment. Do you know what that one was? Well, that one prohibits the states and the federal government from denying the right of U.S. citizens 18 years of age or older to vote on account of age. The drive to lower the voting age from 21 to 18 grew across the country during the 1960s, mostly because student activism movement protested the Vietnam War, but so many other issues got involved with that. The impetus for drafting an amendment to lower the voting age arose following the Supreme Court's decision, which held that Congress may set requirements for voting in federal elections, but not for state or local elections. So, on March 23rd, 1971, not all that long ago, depending on your age perspective, a proposal to extend the right to vote to citizens 18 years of age and older was adopted by both houses of Congress, sent to the states for ratification, and the amendment became part of the Constitution on July 1st, 1971. So that was a fairly quick movement through the Congress and for the states to ratify that from March to July. Sometimes it takes much longer for a constitutional amendment to make that kind of change. Well, of course, another area of voting rights relates to the right of people of color voting. And in 1867, because of the 1866 Civil Rights Act, it granted citizenship to all native-born Americans. So there's still a qualification. Not the right to vote. That was granting citizenship to all native-born Americans. That left out a whole lot of people, because you think of all the immigrants and all the people coming to the United States who were not native-born. In 69, 2 years later, Congress passed the 15th Amendment, giving African-American men the right to vote. But remember, states could still make all kinds of rules and regulations. Not too many years after that, Louisiana passed what they called the grandfather clauses to keep former slaves and their descendants from voting. So as a result, you know, there had been a number of registered black voters drop from 44% to 4% 4 years later. And then Mississippi, South Carolina, Alabama, and Virginia followed Louisiana's lead in terms of the grandfather clauses. Now, interesting, I know you've heard about literacy tests, because a number of states had literacy tests. And I think this was an interesting, I'm wondering how many of us could pass this literacy test. And everyone who could not prove they had a fifth grade education had to take this test. They had 10 minutes to complete it, and one wrong answer said you failed. It's kind of like one of those quiz things that you see every once in a while to see if you're paying attention. Number one in this test is draw a line around the number of letter of this sentence. That's confusing. Number two, draw a line under the last word of this line. Number three, cross out the longest word of this line. Number four, draw a line around the shortest word of this line. Notice the difference in the instructions. Cross out is in number three. Number four is draw around. And then number five is circle the first letter of the alphabet in this line. And number six, in the space below, draw three circles. One inside by, and then in parentheses, engulfed by the other. Well, I think I know what that means, but some of those others are pretty catchy. So if you failed that test, even one thing, you were not allowed to vote. And then there were poll taxes. And in 1964, poll taxes were outlawed with the adoption of the 24th Amendment. So, you know, there just continued to be. 1965 was a really important Voting Rights Act that President Lyndon Johnson signed, but there were extensions that were signed in 1970 by President Nixon, in 1975 by President Ford, in 1982 by Ronald Reagan. So the changes continue. Every year we hear more about the requirements in order to allow people the ability and the right to vote. So the contention goes on in various ways. So whatever I hope you have scheduled in your day, if you haven't already done so, get to the poll and vote.